The Gamer's Haven Snippets Mini Reviews. A quick look at some of the games we play, be it card games, board games, or role-playing games.
Get the newest releases at RPG Now. Only at RPG Now can you get the absolute latest and best releases from fantastic publishers like Palladium Books and White Wolf Publishing. There are new products every single day. Come to RPGNow.com and get them the instant they're available.
This is Ethan with the Gamer's Haven Podcast with yet another snippet review. This time I've got two different games, a board game and a card game, to talk about. The first game I'm going to talk about is a game called Bohnanza, spelled B-O-H-N. And it is a game from Rio Grande Games, and is a German game that was ported over here to the United States. It's a very fast-paced card game. I think it's ideal very much for families. It's got a good sense of humor about itself. It's got the whole point of the game is to actually plant and harvest the same kind of beans. Basically, is you have the deck of cards, and then there's a in the deck there are certain types of beans, like stinky beans, green beans, garden beans, that sort of thing. And some beans are more are in there in the deck more than others. Like there are 22 blue beans as opposed to six red beans, basically, or six cocoa beans. Excuse me. And what you do is you only have two different fields that you can plant beans into. So at the start of your turn, you are all dealt cards at the start of the game, really. And then the first player takes their turn, and you have to keep your cards in the order that they were dealt, because the first card you're dealt is your first card. It all goes in order, so you can't take cards from the back of your hand, at least not when you're planting beans. When it's your turn, you have your cards in your hand, you basically have the option of planting bean. You have to plant the bean that's the first card in your hand. If that bean is a bean you already have, you just stack it on with the rest of them. However, if it's not, then you have to decide whether or not you are going to harvest some other beans or replace some other beans. Once you have the beans out in play, you can either go ahead and play your second card, or you always have to draw two cards from the top of the deck. And those cards either have to be planted by you, or you can try to negotiate with the other players and swap cards, say, hey, I've got, does anyone want this, you know, this wax bean for any kind of blue beans? And then all the players get an option of saying, well, I'll give you a wax bean for that, blah, 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 that sort of thing. And the game goes on for three reshuffles of the deck, and the deck gets smaller each time, because as you harvest beans, depending on the number of beans you harvest in a particular stack, you get you flip the cards over and you keep a certain amount as points, basically. So say you have a blue bean and you have, you know, four of them. Well, if you harvest four of them, a stack of four, then you get 1 point. But if you harvest, say, a stack of 12 of them, you get maybe 2 or 3 points. And so you keep more cards the more beans you harvest. And obviously the rarer the bean, like the cocoa beans, the more points they're worth. So like if there's only six of them in the deck, if you have managed to have three of them out, you can harvest them those three for all 3 points. And so for the subsequent reshuffles of the deck, those aren't available. So, a fun little game. We had about four players playing that. And it's a very lighthearted, quick game. Our game went on for maybe about 20 minutes or so. And most of that was sort of getting the rule, basically the explaining the rules and getting the cards dealt out. I think it's a great game for kids. It's one of those games that's definitely, it's kind of hard to describe how to play it, but it's easy to sit down and start playing it. I think it's great for kids. It's definitely got a great cartoony nature to it. It really kind of reminded me a bit of Killer Bunnies, except without the, you know, killer and the bunnies. But it had that same sort of lighthearted cartoon atmosphere. Anyway, that's from Rio Grande Games. You'll find a link to that in this episode's RSS feed or in the show notes at CanadianCrusaders.com. The second game I had the pleasure of playing was a board game from Fantasy Flight Games. It's the Battlestar Galactica board game. Now, I'm a fan of the new show. I wasn't a big fan of the old show. The new show, I have not seen the last season of yet. I'm waiting for it to come out on my Netflix. But it is another, I think, a masterpiece from Fantasy Flight Games. These are people who know how to make a board game, and they know how to make a board game well. So what's very nice about it is we got to play the game with six people, and it's a fairly complex game. It's not a game you can sit down and play in, you know, an hour. It's a game you sit down, you can play for 2, maybe 3 hours. It's definitely a game that will work well for my group. I really enjoyed it. Basically, the rundown of it is at the beginning of the game is you choose a character, and there are several different types of characters, and they're all from the series. So you can be Admiral Adama, or you could be President Roslin, or you could be anyone else, really, Starbuck, Apollo, anyone like that. And there are different types of skills that each character has, like engineering, science and research, politics, tactics, piloting, that sort of thing. And depending on what character you grab, it sort of gives you, basically, depending on what character you grab, gives you the those types of cards to play. After everyone chooses their character, it's best to have a good balance of political and some tactical people that like that. I was ended up being Admiral Adama, so I had control of the nukes, and he had 2 nukes, which you could use to nuke some Cylons. It was all good. Everyone is dealt a loyalty card face down at the start of the game, which determines whether or not you are a Cylon. If you are a Cylon, you must try to secretly, as the game progresses up until the second half of the game, is you can you're trying to subvert the humans, but not sort of overtly do it, so people can automatically say, "Hey, you're a Cylon. I'm going to throw you in the brig." There are a few action cards, usually from the president, some quorum president cards, that allows someone to look at a loyalty card, but they can't reveal it to anyone else. They can say what it is, but you don't know if that person's lying or not. So basically what happens is, during the course of play, you have different crises that happen. Is you can move your character to a section of the ship or to a section of another ship, and you can either do the action that's on the board, or you could play an action card out of your hand. And when you play an action card out of your hand, you just do what's on the card. And you sort of have to think of a strategy about it. You have to, sometimes you can give an action, give someone else 2 actions. Sometimes you can modify a dice roll or a skill check or something like that. But at the end of your round, you draw a crisis card. And a crisis card determines what the crisis is for that moment. And it could be Cylons showing up. It could be presidential elections. It could be anything, really. And usually, it's going to have a pass-fail, or it's going to have an option that, you know, either the admiral chooses, you know, to make a skill check, or just chooses to do this, basically. And if it's a pass-fail, typically if the pass is a good thing, you don't lose much, if anything, of your resources. And the fail is obviously a bad thing, is you lose more of your resources. Most of the action. Well, most of the crisis cards are going to have a skill rating, basically a skill difficulty, and then it's going to have three of the colors listed, like the colors for tactics, piloting, politics, that sort of thing, which are applicable to the encounter, the skill. So basically, starting with the person who drew the crisis card, or the person on their left, has a chance to play cards, to put cards, action cards, face down. And the action cards themselves don't do anything, but each action card has a number value. And they're color-coded, obviously, so piloting cards are red, and politics cards are yellow, that sort of thing. And so any colors that correspond to the actual skill challenge are positive in value. Any action cards that are of colors that are not part of the skill challenge are negative in value. So that's how you can get some Cylons in there to sabotage a mission. But you gotta try to be kind of cautious about that, because your colors can give you away if people are observant enough. And you sort of sometimes have to bide your time. As a Cylon, you can either overtly sabotage things or whatnot, or sort of stay in the shadows. Anyway, once it goes all the way around, everyone gets a chance to play cards up till the last person that gets a chance to play any cards is the guy who drew the crisis card. So he then shuffles those cards up, turns them over, and then basically determines, adds up the values, adds, subtracted, subtracts, that sort of thing. And then some people have a chance then to play action cards that actually don't require an action or anything. It would says so on the card. That can modify the difficulty or modify the skill, anything like that. Now, then you determine whether or not you pass fail that way. And then that progresses around the table until basically enough crises. Some crises cards, they all have something that happens after it, whether or not it's the Cylons, if there's a base star out, some Raiders have an action phase, that sort of thing, move the jump track to the next level. And once the jump track, it's sort of a way of computing the jump trajectory and light speed, basically, hyper jump, that sort of thing. And once the jump track is up to the very, very top, you automatically jump, which clears the board. The Admiral then draws the two destination cards and then chooses one secretly from the other characters, and that's the destination. Now, this is also a way of subverting things, as you have the Admiral could choose someplace that's worse than the other card or better than the other card. It depends. Once you have gone a jump distance of four, the second round, the second half of the game starts. Everyone is dealt another loyalty card face down, and these are the sleeper agent cards. So if you weren't a Cylon in the first half of the game, you could be a Cylon in the second half of the game. If you're a Cylon in the first half of the game, you remain a Cylon in the second half, that sort of thing. And so... it keeps you sort of on your toes, and then play progresses like that. At any time, a Cylon can, during their turn, I believe, reveal that they are a Cylon, and they immediately are removed from Galactica and go to a resurrection ship because they're killed. And obviously, this resurrection ship, you come back to life, etc., etc. And then there are actions they can take from there that basically can help the Cylon fleet. The game we played was a lot of fun. It took us a couple hours to play it. We had a full house of six people, and I gotta say, I had a blast with this game. I think it was a lot of fun. It really, really evoked the TV series to me, and it just made me want these people to make a Babylon 5 board game. I thought that would have been spectacular if Fantasy Flight could pull that off, because it'd just be great. But it's definitely a game that's been added to my list of stuff to get. I think it's going to be a little while. It's a $60 game, but it is a gorgeous, gorgeous game. The human side, we lost. It went fairly well for the first half of the game, and then all crumbled in the last half, which is not uncommon. There are technically six ways to end the game, five ways for the... actually might be 7 ways to end the game, and I think it's 6 ways that the humans can lose and 1 way that they can win. Humans win when they reach a jump, when they jump 8, basically make a jump value 8 total. It means they've escaped the Cylons and they've made it to Earth or whatever. A lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. It's Fantasy Flight Games, Battlestar Galactica. Check it out on our website. We've got some links to two places you can pick it up at. Very cool game. I really enjoyed it. I can't wait to play it again. That's about it for this snippet, guys. Thanks for listening. Bye.
This concludes the broadcast from World Control.
Gamers Attic Attack! We have dice of every stripe, any color scheme and shape you can imagine. Exclusive dice, gold-plated dice, blank dice, label dice, cheat dice, D8 ability dice, crystal dice, time dice within dice, and jumbo foam dice for when you feel the inescapable urge to pelt your fellow players or annoying commercial announcers. And that's just a few of them! We sell enough dice to form a high-intensity plastic bridge from the Earth to the Moon. What's more, any order over $30 gets $3 off when you use the coupon code RADIO. Who wants a set?
I do.
Who else?
Me.
Anyone else?
Why are you ignoring me?
I'm not ignoring you. I'm cutting you off.
What?
You order a new set every day.
So?
Is there a 12-step program for Diceaholics? Because you, sir, have a problem.
That's really strange of you to say.
Green frosted, red speckled, violet glitter, blue translucent. You couldn't say no to these beauties if you wanted to.
I'm not an addict. I could stop collecting marbles anytime I like.
Marbles? You haven't been buying marbles this whole time. You've been buying dice.
That explains why I keep losing the marbles tournament. Those 4- and 6-sided marbles aren't really all that great for rolling.
You're not only a dice junkie, you're dumb, son. Dumb.
So can I get a set?
What'll it hurt? Sure.
Woohoo! Marbles!
Remember, folks, use the coupon code RADIO to get $3 off any order over $30 at GamersAttic.com.
This has been a snippet mini-review from the Gamers Haven Podcast. For more information on the products mentioned, please visit our website at CanadianCrusaders.com.